looking forward to a good report for all of that dear sister in the Lord. Amen. So I'm just going to get right in to today's message. It's called Hearing the Voice of Christ. Hearing the Voice of Christ. And it's actually, we're going to, even though it's titled Hearing the Voice of Christ, this account and story is about Elijah. You guys have heard of Elijah, right? In the Bible? And so this in the Old Testament. And, you know, so I just want to start by saying a few things. You remember that Elijah had a great victory over the prophets of Baal, right? There was 450 prophets of Baal. There was 400 prophets of Asherah. And then Elijah, and then so they come together, amen, you remember that? And he says, hey, we're going to, once and for all, we're going to see who is God. The God that answers by fire. And we know that Elijah had a lot to do with fire. And so Elijah, he said, whoever answers by fire. And so they built this altar, they put wood underneath it. And so these prophets of Baal and Asherah, they're calling on the Lord all day long. They start cutting themselves, and then Elijah starts mocking them. They said, well, maybe your God's asleep, needs to be awakened. I think he even says maybe he's using the restroom. So maybe he's just predisposed right now, and he's not available. And so, and then Elijah, and then at the evening time of sacrifice, this simple. Elijah said, hey, let's make this a little bit more interesting. Let's take this fire that God's going to call down. Let's take this and let's fill this whole thing with water. So let's take it and fill it with water. So not only was he going to call fire down, but he said, hey, let's fill it with water. So they fill this, they dig around it, and they fill it completely with water. Amen. The sacrifice. So they fill the sacrifice all with water. And then like that, he says, Lord, show these people that you are still the God of Israel. And what happens? Boom. God answers by fire. It completely consumes the sacrifice. It licks up all the water. It becomes completely dry. And then after that, Elijah said, this is awesome. He said, let's kill every one of these prophets of Baal. And these prophets of Asherah, these that are leading God's people astray. So what they killed them right then and there. And so what Elijah says, man, this is a great day. This is an awesome day. God has given an amazing victory. So on that altar, and then having the altar and the wood and being all filled with water, God answering with fire, completely consuming every bit of that. That sounds like a victorious day, doesn't it? It really was. And so then right after, and then Elijah prays for, not only that, but then it had been a drought. He had said, hey, by my word, Elijah said this, by my word, it shall not rain until I say it's going to rain again. And so him listening to the voice of God, 3.5 years without a drop of rain. And then he says, guess what? He says, now it's going to rain. So Ahab, the wicked king, he says, hey, look, not only did God answer by fire, but he says, get ready because it's going to rain. And so he went and prayed. And we saw he prayed 7 times before he sees this cloud the size of a hand coming up out of the ocean. And then he tells Ahab, he says, you better get rolling because it's getting ready to pour. So he has this amazing thing to where it begins to rain, and God said, man, this is good. There's going to be a revival, right? There's going to be a revival in Israel. But one problem, Jezebel, right? Queen Jezebel wasn't too impressed, right? And so this representing the devil, actually the enemy, representing Baal, representing Asherah, she wasn't impressed, and this is what she says. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to turn my heart over to Jesus, we can say it that way, but instead of turning my heart over to God, she says this, she says, man, you're going to be dead by tomorrow. What you did to my prophets, to the gods that I serve, you're going to be dead by tomorrow. And instantly like that, Elijah goes from a great victory, man, a great, awesome victory, running into the desert, running out into the desert for his life. Elijah runs and hides in the desert. He sleeps. And then he says, I just want to die. Lord, he says, I'm no different than my fathers. I'm no different than my family. I'm no different than those I'm related to that came before me. Man, I just want to die. So he goes from a complete victory to saying to be completely given up. You know, he had a servant that was with him that was always helping him. So he had somebody at his right hand. So at that time, if you were a prophet, you always had somebody that maybe you were training up, and he'd become so discouraged that he took his servant, his protege, and he said, hey, don't even come with me anymore. You stay here. We're done here. I'm no longer going to be pursuing or training you. And so he becomes so discouraged that he goes out and he gets under a broom tree, it says, and he just lays down to die. Wants to die, he leaves his servant behind in Beersheba. And then this angel wakes him up, and he sees this loaf of bread. That'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? On coals, freshly baked, and it says a pitcher of water. He says, eat. He says, you need to eat. So Elijah eats, and then he lays back down and goes to sleep and says, yeah, thanks for the food, but I'm done here. I'm done here. And what happens, the angel shakes him again and says, hey, you need to eat. And you need to drink this water because it's going to be a long journey. And so Elijah had an amazing string of victories in his life, in his ministry. But then Jezebel, representing every false god in Israel, is unrepentant and comes after him. You know, let me just say this. This victory that he had, Elijah, and what was going on, let me just say this. It kind of reminds me of the United States right now. How do you say that? You may say, Pastor Chad, what are you talking about? Well, I remember abortion becoming illegal, and amen for that. Amen? I remember Trump appointing 3 Supreme Court judges. That's awesome. The economy was looking great, and then it seems to have evaporated in 3 years. I don't hear anymore about that decision about abortion being illegal. And I know states are fighting. I don't hear much about that anymore, do you? I know about these 3 Supreme Court judges being nominated and being on the court, but I just don't hear about them anymore. Matter of fact, I hear more about discouragement, about how it looks like maybe the enemy is winning right now. I hear more about the wrong things, and there is many things. So those things in the past where it seemed like a great victory, it seemed to evaporate. And let me tell you, that's exactly where Elijah was. Or maybe this, or maybe in your personal life, you may have remembered when things were going well, financially, or maybe job-wise, family-wise, relationship-wise, maybe when you had perfect health, and now you say you're maybe in the struggle of your life. See, things look good at one time. Things looked like things were going to work out. You remember when you were younger and maybe you had dreams for life, maybe it didn't work out exactly like you wanted to. Would that be anybody in here or just me? So he was now in this struggle. I see the United States like in that same boat with Elijah. A great victory. And now wondering, what in the world happened? And so that's where we start 1 Kings 19. We're going to start reading this account, this powerful, amazing account, which I believe has to do with, obviously, the new covenant that we're walking in, but what I believe God is doing in his people today. Verse 1 Kings 19:9, it says, and the word of the Lord came to him. So he had traveled 40 days, and he came to the mountain. And he says, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing? So this is what the Lord says to him. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So here's Elijah. He begins to respond here. So he says, he replied to the Lord. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. So this is interesting. The Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, we know that he traveled on that food for 40 days, but it doesn't say that the Lord told him to go here. It doesn't give us that input, but for some reason, he decides to travel 40 days, which when looking at the distance was about 280 miles. As he goes all the way to the mountain of God here, and he replies, I've been very zealous, and You know, I remember times, how about, I remember saying to the Lord, I had been zealous for you, but look at this situation I'm in. I remember it was a situation with family, and things went so wrong. I'll be honest, with a son, I became so disheartened that I said that if this is what it's about, I don't need ministry. I don't care about a call of God. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I don't need to hear your voice in anything else, Lord, if this is what it's about. Have you ever been so discouraged in your life? Maybe discouraged what you see around you in the government, or maybe some discouragement you may even have in your own home or your family or in your job or your finances. Have you ever been so discouraged that you say, I'm just going to sit underneath this broom tree and I'm just going to go to sleep? Thanks for the bread. Thanks for the water. Now my belly's full. Now I can really take a nap. So that's where he is. He's so discouraged. The Lord says to him, what are you doing here? And he begins to tell him all his miseries. And then the Lord starts to speak to him. So let's continue on 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. He's talking to Elijah. This is the Lord. After saying, what are you doing here? The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind. So this is what he gets to experience. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? I mean, that's a powerful wind. I mean, if you have a wind that's tearing rocks apart, man, that is more powerful than any wind you and I have ever seen. That would be like, wow, to behold. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the wind. It was a great display of power, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Man, I wonder what that earthquake looked like. I wonder if he was there having to do this, you know, whoa, you know, that earthquake, or if it was just around him. If he was, you know, where he was at was just calm, no effects of the earthquake, but he could see the earthquake around him. Could you imagine seeing that? But it says the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. I wonder what that fire looked like. It came a fire. Was the mountain on fire? But he was on Horeb, the Mount Horeb. Was that mountain on fire? Could you imagine? Could your imagination see what that fire was like? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Gentle whisper. You know, the Lord passed by and he wasn't in any of the destruction. And this is what's interesting. Mount Sinai is also known as Mount Herb. It's the same mountain. It's the same mountain. It's the mountain where Moses went and got the Ten Commandments. It's the mountain, it was called Mount Sinai, but it's the same as Mount Herb. And now Mount Sinai was the smoke, it was all smoky when Moses went up for the Ten Commandments. You know that story, right? Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in the fire. So when he came down at the time of Moses, it says he was in the fire. But when he came down with Elijah looking, it says he wasn't in the fire. So what's going on there? And there was a smoke and there was a furnace of smoke and the whole mountain quaked violently. And it says they could not cope the command. If even an animal touches the mountain, he shall be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. So here we have Elijah going to the same mountain as Moses. And the power of God being displayed in that old covenant that nobody could even touch that mountain or they would be stoned. And Moses would say, man, I am terrified for what I'm seeing. You know, this is the thing. This is what I see today with what we see there. And we're going to get into this is what a prophetic insight to the new covenant that Elijah was seeing. He may have not known it at the time, but I'm telling you this morning, it was a prophetic insight for you and I of Christ Jesus. And not only that, but what he's doing in this generation, if we have ears to hear. How about you? Do you have ears to hear? My heart's desire in this day, in this hour, is that the gospel all of a sudden wouldn't be something that bores me. Yeah, I've heard that over and over again. So we can come to church. We can actually put an autopilot, go to sleep, amen, shake a few hands, put a buck in the back, and leave. Man, I pray that you and I pray that I won't. I'm convinced I'm not going to be that way. I want to have ears to hear what the Lord is saying. So what a prophetic insight. You know, Matthew 11:14 says, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. Here's what we're getting at too, at first. And Jesus said this, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself, who, John the Baptist, is Elijah who is to come to you. So remember that the scripture in Malachi says that Elijah will come in the power of Elijah. It wasn't Elijah reincarnated. But in the spirit and power of Elijah, the Bible prophesied, Malachi, that he would come and pave the way for Jesus. And here we have Elijah on the mountain. And we have this fire, we have this wind, amen, we have this earthquake, but God wasn't in it. What's going on there? What's going on there? Well, let's look at it. What's that new covenant meaning? Now you saw the wind was so powerful that it was tearing the rocks apart. He saw that, but it says God was not in the wind. But what's the wind represent for you and I today? It represents the Holy Spirit living in you and I. Not out there somewhere. He's out there, right? He's everywhere, but the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't being displayed. He wasn't in that wind right now because it was a pre-runner. Amen. John the Baptist coming in the power of Elijah. What it was saying is he was going to live in you. That Holy Spirit, that power of that Holy Spirit represents not being out there now, but in here, living in you and I. Acts 2:2, you know this. And suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There's your violent wind. A violent rushing wind coming into the house where there was 120,000 people and the Holy Spirit filling their lives. See, what he saw, that there was just the power of God that Moses saw, that says that God was in that fire. But what he saw there is it wasn't in the fire there. That wasn't how God was going to operate out there somewhere anymore. He was going to operate within you and I. Amen. Do you realize that if you know him, that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Amen. Let's continue a little bit. And it says the wind shattered the rocks. You know, the commandments were on stone, right? But Moses made the Ten Commandments two things of stones. What are they called? Two tablets. And they were made out of stone. But did you see that when it talks about this wind, that Elijah was there, it says that the wind shattered the rocks. Why would it shatter the rocks? This is what it says in Hebrews 8:10. I love this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. We're in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When he saw that wind shattering a rock, what it was saying is no more is it going to be just a law on stones that you and I read somehow through our own strength, try to abide in it. No, God shattered that way and says, I'm going to write those laws upon your heart and on your mind, and you're going to know my law within you. So when that wind came and shattered those rocks, that's a precursor. That you and I no longer live under the old covenant, no longer live in our own strength and our own ability. The wind of God broke that and shattered that. When that wind came in Elijah, it said it began to tear rocks apart, a representation that there was coming a time where that old covenant was going to pass away and the better new covenant would be established. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. That fire, how about that fire? That fire of God is designed to live within you and I as a passion. A passion for the things of God. A passion for purpose. And we know the enemy's out there always trying to damper that, trying to kill that, diffuse that. But the Holy Spirit in you is always wanting to walk in the passion of God. For what? Passion for your brothers and sisters, loving one another. And a passion that in your within you, there's something that God has saying, hey, I've got purpose for you. And purpose always leads to passion, or passion always leads to purpose, regardless of your age. As Paul said, the outer body may be decaying, but day by day the inner man is being renewed. So that fire, whether you're 85 or you're 25, it's the same fire and passion through the Holy Spirit that lives in you if you want it to. If you want it to. If you want to live by that passion to your last dying breath, amen. The fire of God is designed to live within you. How do we know? Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist who came in the spirit of who? Elijah. This is John the Baptist, Matthew 3:11. He says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. As Elijah was standing there watching this, what did it say? God wasn't in the fire. Wasn't out there somewhere. It was in the days of the old covenant. God was in the fire. He was in the earthquake. He was in the wind. They couldn't even come near the mountain. They were terrified. Because the law of God will always bring wrath. It'll always, all it does is bring you to the end of yourself saying, I can't do this. They were terrified. How about the earthquake? Then he saw this earthquake. So here's Elijah. He's watching the wind. He's watching the fire. And then there's an earthquake. So why would, if God wasn't in the earthquake, what could that represent? I love Matthew 27:50-51. This is what it represents. And Jesus cried out. He's on the cross, and Jesus cried out again and with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. So that thing is now that God, he said he wasn't in that earthquake, but we see where Jesus gave his life, there was that earthquake, a representation of when Jesus bowed his head and said, it is finished. It is finished. Brothers and sisters, the battle, amen, to be righteous, it is finished. He paid the price, amen. Doing things on our own strength, with our own ability, amen. He said, it is finished, and it began to quake. We had the fire, the Holy Spirit. We had the wind, the Holy Spirit. And we had that earthquake that everything shook and the rock split when Jesus said, gave up his spirit and said, it is finished. Amen. You know, it's interesting. After that, after the fire, came a gentle whisper. And I really want to spend some time focusing on this gentle whisper. So after the fire came, a gentle whisper, it says, and when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He stood there, he heard that whisper. And here's what God said again to him. Same question. Then a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And Elijah gives the exact same response. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Have you ever been there when you've been in such a struggle that you think you're the only one that's ever dealt with that? That you're alone in that, and nobody could quite understand what you're going through? And then later on, if you read in that chapter, we won't get there, but God says to Elijah, he says, by the way, I have 7,000 people that have never bowed their knee to Baal or any other god. Elijah, you're not alone. You know, in any type of struggle, amen, just know this, that you're not alone. Amen. It's not the first time God has ever dealt with that or had anybody go through that, whether it be failures or struggles, depression. Doesn't matter what it is. God knows exactly where you are. And this is where that gentle whisper comes in handy. You know, people look for the fire, and these are things, these are good. Let me say this. People look for the fire, the wind, and the earthquake in ministry, and there is purpose for that. Hear me out. People look for the fire, the wind, and the earthquake in ministry, in their jobs, in taking out this wicked government, in their bank accounts, in relationships, and they're all these different things. They're looking for the fire. But let me say this, but when things aren't going your way and you're laying in bed and you're dealing with a discouragement, a devastation, an attack from Jezebel, from the enemy, you better be hearing a gentle breeze and a voice saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We all need to hear that whisper. See, the fire of God is awesome. The power of God that we see is awesome. But when you're laying in bed, you better be able to hear his voice. It won't be the fire that's going to keep you. It won't be the wind. It won't be the earthquake. It's going to be that still, small voice that you hear. "What are you doing here? What's going on? What are you doing? What's going through your mind?" And so this, so regardless of what's going on, I believe in this day, in this age, God's going to move by his power. But there's going to be an army of people that are going to rise up, and they're going to know his voice. They're going to have an understanding, a revelation of the word of God. They're going to be hearing from him and operating him. So when the enemy's coming against them, when you're not up here to be able to get prayer, when there's no fire, you better have a gentle breeze that you hear the voice of God leading and directing your life. Amen. Pretty interesting that voice and that breeze saying to him, "What are you doing here? You've been..." Amen. Let me continue this. And are you able to hear that comfort of that still small voice, or does it always have to be a fireworks show from God to get your attention? There's not always a fireworks show. I love and I appreciate the power and the fire of God. But it was not helping Elijah at that time. See, he had just experienced the fire of God like none of us have. The fire of God coming down, consuming that sacrifice. Amen? And then calling down rain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. That he goes to Mount Sinai, and God prophetically, without maybe him even realizing, but you and I realizing today, amen, that God living inside you and I, and yes, he's doing miracles and does things, but it was the still small voice of God that got his attention. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" See, once he began to hear his voice, amen. Once he was able to hear this voice, then the Lord was able to say this to him. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came." Verse 15 says, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet." This is what I have learned when we allow his gentle voice to minister to us. It brings healing to the heart. Hear me out. His gentle voice. The power of the Holy Spirit living in your life. When it's only you. When you're having a difficult time. Amen. This is what I've learned when we allow his gentle voice to minister to us. It brings healing to our heart. It brings strength to a body, and it allows you to understand the word of God, and it allows you to hear the Lord say, "This is what I want you to do." It's a still, small voice that directs us. Amen. Look at Jesus is the one that said this. Even though we know God does miracles, he's doing miracles, will continue to do miracles, but it was the same Jesus that said to them, they said, I did miracles, I did this, I did that, and Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. See, they may have knew the fire. They may have seen the fire, even perform fire. They may have been part of the earthquake, amen? They may have been part of that wind and seen that wind, but they did not know his voice. He never allowed them to really take their heart over. They never gave their lives to them. They were into it for what they could see, for what was going on around them. But Jesus, I never knew you. It's his small voice that will lead and direct you and keep you out of deception. It'll keep you out of despair. It's the thing in the middle of the night. It says, I will not give up. Amen and amen. As Pastor Lee said, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. You know, to walk in peace, to walk in rest, you have to pursue that gentle breeze known as his voice. That's what I've come to realize. There's just some times where I can't figure it out. I can pray for somebody, I can do all these things and see God answering other people's prayers, but I have to hear that gentle breeze known as his voice for myself. I can't tell you how many people I've known that are movers or shakers in business or in ministry, but they can't sit still. They can't fellowship with the Father. It's like they have ants in their pants. Even Jesus went away to pray to hear that gentle breeze, to hear that voice. Let me just say this. What am I trying to say is we're coming into a time where the Lord wants to talk to his people, I believe, like never before, to hear his voice. Amen. Not only to see God do signs and wonders, but like Elijah, when those things happen, but the enemy still comes against him, that I can hear him when he says, Chad, what are you doing? He loves us. His kindness, his faithfulness, his love for you is so deep and so real, amen? He's always speaking to us. I believe he's always speaking to us. But are we listening? Amen. See, his voice, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you can bring comfort. Sometimes the fire of God can't bring you comfort. Amen. Sometimes those different things that we see that shake things that are amazing, it will not bring you comfort. It will not lead your life. Only that gentle breeze known as the voice of God will lead and guide you. To walk in peace, to walk in rest, you have to pursue that gentle breeze known as his voice. Like I said, I can't tell you how many people I've known that can't even sit still. Can't even sit still. They don't hear his voice. They can't sit still. There's an issue within their heart that they can't sit still and allow the Holy Spirit to minister and touch them. But when those times, amen, where you feel despair, I'm telling you, this is the thing. The Lord wants to minister to you. And in some cases, he wants to say, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Him going to that mountain, seeing all those displays, and God was not in them, but he was in the voice. Let me tell you something. His voice in your heart and life are the most powerful thing you will ever experience in life. Amen. Jesus went away to pray, right? To hear that gentle breeze, his voice. Revelation, which is understanding, direction, and peace from God, comes from hearing him. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to accomplish things. I believe that. But that drawing close to him that maybe comes through tough times only comes through that breeze. As Gina comes up, amen. Thank you, piano player. Amen. Do you know your father? Amen. He knows you. Sometimes the busyness, let me just say this, I've had to learn this. This is because the way I'm wired, I can get so busy. One thing about when you start getting older, you get some experiences. And seeing people going from being so busy, accomplishing what seems like mighty things, powerful things, anointed things, miraculous things, but get so busy that when a trial comes along or something comes along, they crash and burn because they never took time to hear that voice, that gentle breeze. What's so powerful about that is it's in you by the Holy Spirit. Nobody has to pray. Praying for people is fine, but nobody has to pray for you to hear his voice. Did you know that? Here's what it is. You got to pursue it, though. You got to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Believe me, it's not a perfect science where all of a sudden you say, okay, 30 minutes a day in the Word of God to speak to me. No, it's a lifestyle where you're saying, Lord, whether when I'm at work or I'm home, wherever I am, Lord, I want to hear your voice like I've never heard it before, to direct me, to give me peace and give me strength. People who don't hear his voice, they're good, they know the Lord, they're born again, but they don't hear his voice. When those trials and things come along, what ends up happening is they become embittered. And they'll become weary in well-doing. They'll give up. And the answer to that, right? I'm telling you, the answer to that in those situations is say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Minister to me. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you, Jesus who purchased you with his own blood, he say, man, I've got so many things to share. But it's not all in the fire. It's not all in the earthquake. It's not all in the wind. But it is in a quiet breeze where I'll speak to you. I'll strengthen you. I'll encourage you. I'll bless you. I'll say, go this direction. I'll say, go this direction. No, don't do that. Do this. Wait upon me. Amen. Take the ants out of your pants. Just chill. Wait upon me. What's that scripture? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll sit up with wings, right? They'll walk and not grow weary. But I've come to realize this, when we're willing to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice in this situation, my life. Lord, I am giving you my life, whether it's fresh or new, to hear your voice. He is always faithful to do that. I don't care what circumstances you find yourself in. The question is, do you want to hear his voice? Sometimes with the busyness, you right? The busyness. Hey, with the busyness, let me say this. As we end with the busyness, we're just looking for the fire. We're just looking for the wind. Amen? We're just looking for the earthquake, and the Lord is saying, man, I just want you to hear what I have to say to you. What I want you to hear my voice, my concern, my love, my care for you. But you're going to have to be willing to hear that breeze. Father, I just thank you for this today. I thank you for the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. Thank you for how much you love us. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that doesn't, regardless of what any situation any person finds themselves in, that you are more than willing, more than faithful, more than loving, more than kind, more than patient than we could ever understand or recognize, to speak to our hearts. Amen. To speak to our hearts, to bring us comfort, to bring us strength. Let me say this again. There's been people that have been just looking for the fire. And I'm saying there's nothing wrong with the fire of God. There's nothing wrong with the power of God. But there's been people that have just been looking for the fire, looking for the wind, looking for the earthquake. And what the Lord is saying is, you need the gentle breeze to go by your ears of the Holy Spirit and allow me to begin speaking to you. Allow me to start to minister to you. Allow me to start forming a relationship with you so you can be comforted, you can be blessed, you can be strengthened. Amen. I'll give you wisdom in those areas that they've got you confounded. Lord, we thank you for the breeze. We thank you for the Holy Spirit talking to us. Just like what you did to Elijah all those many, 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 many years ago. Lord God, all of a sudden he hears a breeze. And then he hears the voice of the God. He gets up out of the back of that cave. See, he wasn't impressed by the fire anymore. He wasn't impressed by the wind, and he wasn't impressed by the earthquake. But when when he heard that breeze, he says, this is what my soul needs. Amen. And it's where the Lord gave him direction. So did he give up? No. He went on to accomplish many more things. Amen. After that.
Yes.
But it was all based and started off hearing that small, still voice. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to invite you up to pray with you and introduce you to your Maker that loves you, that died for you, who gave his life for you to wash your sins away, to give you a new heart, to fill you with his Holy Spirit, amen, and put you on a new path to life. And you know what's so wonderful about that? To hear his voice. To hear his voice through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, to comfort and bless you and strengthen you and lead and guide your life. So, Father, we thank you for that. We love you. We praise you. We thank you through this week, Lord, that we would start an expectation, Lord, to hear you afresh and anew, to bring comfort in areas of our lives. Areas, Father God, that are confusing, Lord, that you will set paths straight in Jesus' name. Lord, that you'll begin to heal broken hearts. Lord, you'll begin to minister to people's hearts. And so we thank you for that. We declare it. We worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Stand up. You can leave, but we're going to sing a song, I hope, and then we can be dismissed.